This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's your girl K-Dot back in the Ripple Effect. Yo, happy new year, guys. Wow, we're in 2022. Things are going to get popping this year. We're going to set it off. We're going to go to a whole nother level. Just sit tight. It's going to be fun. Like I said, I got those books I'm going to analyze coming out soon. I'm going to actually start videoing my podcast. Yes, because I know there's been a lot of requests for that. They want me on YouTube and things like that. And I must say, guys, 2021 has been, it's been crazy, right? It's had its ups and its downs. But one thing I must say is shout out to all the supporters for staying there, listening, subscribing, liking. Shout out to all the winners that got gifts. You know, I'm very happy about that. I still have some gifts left over, so we'll get into that a little bit later on. But yeah, I just want you guys to know I really appreciate it. We have some new listeners in France, in Spain, and in England. Like, that's just, it's wild. It's been over like the last 2 weeks, so shout out to you guys. Don't be afraid to hit me up whenever, DM me, shout out your city, let me know. I'll shout you guys out on an episode. But you know, we got to get into this sports thing. LeBron is letting y'all know he's not done yet, right? Putting up like 43 last night. It don't matter. LeBron is definitely going into the new year like same old me. If it's not broke, don't fix it, right? Anyway, we have some notable deaths that we need to talk about. The great Betty White, man. I was very shocked to hear about that because all week, all I've heard about was her 100th birthday coming up. And it was just like, wow, you know, what a milestone, you know, what everything she's lived through. She's kind of been called like, you know, the mother of America, you know, she's kind of just been around. But ever since she passed, you know, it was just yesterday morning. You know, you start to find out a lot of people. That's when they start doing specials and things of that nature. Everybody probably knows her from the Golden Girls, right? Or from other things that she's done. But what really impressed me is that I didn't know she served in World War II. Like, that was like, wow. This woman had some life. You know, it just sounds like she did it all. You know, and she was one of those people that you definitely want to model yourself after. Just being a really respected human being all around. You know, she just kind of crossed over through different religions, beliefs, you know, cultures. She seemed to be loved by all, so she will be missed. Yeah, and if you guys find out anything new about her, let me know, because I was very interesting to find out that she served in World War II. And we have to address, because I didn't get a chance to talk to you guys about this, about John Madden. Like, man, 85 years old. They said he did have some health problems. Not that we're all really aware of, because we don't really, you know, talk about those things or hear about it until after the fact. But yeah, heck of a coach, broadcaster. I mean, the list goes on. Hall of Famer. I just wanted to say, just these three rules that he lived by, that I actually try to live by myself. You know, it's pretty interesting. I just thought you guys should know, and I'll share with you. So, there are three rules. One, be on time. Two, pay attention. Three, play like hell when they tell you to. And I know it sounds real simple. And sometimes the rules of life are pretty simple, but it doesn't mean we always do it, right? And just because you try to live by something doesn't mean you're perfect. It doesn't mean you do it all the time. It just means that those are words that actually resonate with you. And when you don't do it, it brings you back to, why didn't I do it, you know, and what can I correct so I can do it, you know, because right now I feel like we're in a culture of just, you don't do it all the time, you know, whatever, you're not perfect, whatever, you know, cancel culture, it's the worst, guys, stop, nobody's perfect. You know, some of you just lucky enough that nobody will ever find out everything that you do, you know. But when you're in the public eye, it is what it is. You know, you do the best you can. There's always tomorrow, you know, but definitely try to do your best today. That's pretty much it. But, yeah, John Madden, pretty much by every game he has coming out every year, you know, the strategies and just how he made the game fun. Man, that was another tough one. So, don't be afraid, guys, to give your flowers to the people while they're still alive. I'll always preach that. I don't know if I really discuss that much here in this forum, but if you know me personally, I've always preached that. Let's try not to say all the great things after people die. Let's try to say them while they're still alive, while they're still around to hear it. Okay? With that being said, let's get into the sports thing. We're winding down. We're now in January, guys. We're now in January. You know that's a big deal in the NFL. Also in the NBA, too, because it means we got to start looking at these teams seriously to figure out what they're really doing, what they're really about. But more so the NFL, because there's a lot of guys that were in the hunt for the playoffs, and now we're sitting here looking about if they're even serious. And guys, when you think about it, it's just so crazy when we're sitting up here in January trying to think about our contenders, right? And you have all this outside stuff, outside drama, just distracting us from football, right? A lot of athletes, a lot of players, especially professional athletes, they love to talk about how when it comes to the media or just any type of, you know, sports people that love to talk about sports. And they always say things like, why can't y'all just keep it to basketball, right? Why can't y'all just keep it to football? And you don't understand. A lot of times, well, I can only speak for myself, but I feel like they do want to just keep it to the sports. That's why we do it. We're not a gossip column, you know. I'm not the shade room, no shade to them. But seriously, I don't want to talk about, you know, everyday reality drama. Honestly, when I talk about sports, I love it because it's pure. I feel like it levels the playing field for just about anybody. And it's competitive. It's just fun. It's great. There's, I don't know, there's nothing like it. I'm just smiling right now just so you know. I know you can't see me, but it's just great. So I say that to say I'd rather not be talking about Antonio Brown and his antics on the football field or off the football field, because with him, you never know. But here's the thing about AB, guys. The man is consistent. I don't know why everybody else is expecting anything less. I remember watching First Take not even just a couple of days ago, and all they were talking about was, oh, I can trust Antonio Brown to get it done. He's a great athlete. He's shown us what he can really do when he was with the Steelers. Yeah, but then he was also with the Raiders and with the Patriots. I mean, and now you're with the Tampa Bay Bucks. And by the way, they just won a chip and they're trying to repeat that. And you were supposed to be part of that. You know, they had some injuries, especially due to all the different changes in protocols because of COVID. You were supposed to help bring that home. You're supposed to be here to fill that void. And even Bruce Arians, right? He was like, oh, we're not going to have him. They got him. Cool. We're only giving him one chance. That's it. One. He faked his vaccination card. Circumstances changed on the team, right? We're going to keep him. Yeah, it's already been taken care of. You know, Bruce Arians is very, I don't want to talk about it. This is a decision we made. That's it. Yada. Whatever. And there's a lot of different stories, guys. I mean, you know how they say there's three sides to every story? I don't know. I feel like as I get older, I'm finding out that that's not true. There's more than three. And who knows what the actual truth is. Or maybe it's just some combination of all of them. Because I'm hearing so many different stories about Antonio Brown, about why he decided to disrobe in the middle of the game in January, playoff season. Like, hello? You know, I mean, it's so bad, guys. It's so bad that you have O.J. Simpson calling out Antonio Brown's antics, and he's saying how ridiculous and inexcusable his actions were. When you got O.J. Simpson calling you out, I mean, is there really anything else left to say? I mean, Antonio Brown, I don't know what went on the sidelines. I'm hearing that he had an opportunity to get his $1 million bonus, and he wasn't let back in the game in order to get that, because I heard that he was very close to obtaining that. Because as you know, NFL contracts are not guaranteed, right, folks? So there are incentives within that contract. Hey, you get these many yards, you can earn more money. Hey, you get these many touchdowns, you know, if you're a wide receiver, you get this more money. You know, there's just different, you know, things depending on your position, right? Because obviously your contract's not going to have how many touchdowns can you get if you're a linebacker, right? I mean, it all depends probably how many sacks you can get, right? How many tackles. Point is, the contract is not guaranteed and he must play, especially in crucial points in the game, in order to get his contract. I get it. So I heard that was the reason why he did it. He wanted to go back in the game so he can reach his $1 million bonus. Bruce Arians wasn't having it, and he said no for whatever reason. And he decided to disrobe and started jumping around and taking off his gloves and whatever. And then eventually leaving mid-game. This was like around third quarter. Then I'm hearing that he was actually told to go into the game. He decided, I'm not going into the game. Now, these are all speculations. Nothing is concrete. Nothing has been proven. But these are things that I'm all hearing. And I'm just paying attention to all of them, gathering, trying to make some sense of it. And obviously, I'm just going to have to wait for the actual truth, because we don't know. But anyway, I'm told that he did not want to get back in the game because he was hurt. He was saying that he was hurt. He doesn't feel like his ankle was fully healed, and he still needed more time. Now, I'm a logical person, so I'm more inclined not to believe that one to some extent. Now, I'm not trying to equate doing a few jumping, you know, I don't know what he was doing. He was like jumping around, half jumping jacks, I don't know. Whatever he was doing, I'm just more inclined to believe that maybe it wasn't an injury that had him sidelined, because I don't know if I would be complaining about my ankle and then jumping on it, but I'm in no way trying to compare just jumping up and down to somebody tackling you properly, you know, probably trying to take your foot off, considering that you're injured. So I'm not trying to equate that. But what I am going to do is, if I am saying it's an injury, I think it would, you know, behoove me to not sit there and jump on it, probably aggravating it, making it worse, making me have to stay out longer than I had anticipated. But I don't know. And then other people, which I truly appreciate, the supporters and everybody out there that love sports just as much as I do, and they tag me in different things, and they alerted me to the fact that Antonio Brown, like other football players, have been hit. I mean, took some pretty bad hits. Just look at Katrina B on Facebook. You know I post all day sports related. If you look at an actual clip, it'll show you a really nasty hit that he took a while back when he was with the Steelers, and it was helmet-to-helmet contact. He wasn't even expecting it. He was already being tackled by someone else, and then another guy kind of just came in head first. I mean, it was pretty brutal. So, I'm not a doctor, okay, guys? I don't know how many of you are out there. Maybe you can comment and give further explanation if this is your area of expertise, or if you know somebody, let me know. But CTE is real. I do believe it is real. I do believe it is a problem. I do believe the NFL believes it's a problem and why they've had certain rules changed pertaining to helmet contact. It's a shame that more research isn't being done, because from my understanding that they cannot verify or confirm that it is CTE until after the person already had passed away, unfortunately, through autopsy and the way they're able to examine the brain. These are just all things that I was reading about, and you guys can confirm it or say, no, that's total crap and whatever. But these are things that I was reading, and I like to read up on things to kind of find out more about these things. Because meanwhile, we all love the game of football, but we do have to be aware that it is a dangerous sport and things like this can happen and all these are possibilities, right? So there's been a lot of things going on with Antonio Brown for a while. Even Tom Brady. I mean, I guess a lot of people were shocked the way he came across during his post-game interview, because it wasn't, oh man, I trusted this guy. I thought he was going to deliver for me. You know, and he did that, and I thought that was foolish. Like, no, he didn't say that at all. Like, I invite you to watch Tom Brady's post-game interview, just because I think it's something that we all can learn from. Empathy, right? Now, am I going to excuse Antonio Brown's behavior? Am I not going to say that, he should take responsibility for himself and realize a while ago that he needs help, especially when he went on Instagram Live and had the whole, you know, off the field type of drama with, you know, the cops involved. Like, it was just a mess, a hot mess, because you know that you're a superstar, and you know by going Instagram Live it's gonna put a lot of attention on yourself, and it wasn't involving football, so you had to have known that people weren't going to be talking to you about football because you invited them in a different part of your life. But anyway, but yeah, I did appreciate what Tom Brady had said. And I'm not, and listen, because when I first saw this, and yes, I was watching it live, I mean, I was just like, is this dude kidding me? Like, what is going on? I mean, these are just my first reactions. Like, these are normal human reactions, right? Like, I just couldn't believe my eyes. It was never been done. It's January. The Buccaneers were down. They were trying to win a football game. I mean, Bucks won anyway, right? That's a testament to Tom Brady and that LSU connection that he made down at the end of the field for a touchdown. But, you know, that's the stuff I want to be talking about. But, you know, we're talking about this. But anyway. Tom Brady completely showed compassion for him, and he understands that he needs help. So I don't know how many times Antonio Brown has been receptive to any type of mental health treatment or even just acknowledge that maybe that this is something that he should look into just because of his behavior. I mean, even if you're just in the moment and you didn't get it, I'm sure you had to have seen videos, or I'm sure people closest to you, no matter what organization you were with at the time, had to have said something, just because, you know, they care about football more than anything and they care about winning, and they know if you're not there mentally, if you're not right, then it's probably not going to go your way. I mean, a lot of luck and a lot of hard work and a lot of things have to go a certain way in order for you to win a football, you know, a championship. You know, winning the Super Bowl is not easy at all. So you have to think, I'm hoping that at least somebody close to him was trying. And I know a lot of people just want to keep putting the blame on these organizations just because it's just easier. But here's the thing, guys. You really can't make anybody do anything that they don't want to do. So if Antonio Brown wasn't receptive to any of this information, whether it be Tom Brady or his own personal family or closest friends, I don't know. Or maybe from the way it looked, the way he was just acting with the people closest to him, I don't know if he alienated himself so much and continuing to do so, just more so on the football side of things, that he just doesn't trust anybody to really open up and really try to figure out, how can I go about getting some help? Because even if he was right in this situation with Bruce Arians, you know, because I don't know, I haven't had the guy figured out yet, but even if he was right and he was like, man, this guy deprived me of my bonus and he knows how much I need this. This is the reason why I came back, because I'm here to help y'all win a Super Bowl and y'all here. And the reason why I need you is to help me get money. You know, it's supposed to be like a workable deal. And if he didn't hold up that end of the deal, I get why you'd be upset. But just to tarnish your whole legacy and to possibly never, you know, come back to a football team ever again, who's going to trust you? I mean, Tom Brady, TB12 vouched for you. I mean, was it that serious to take it to that extreme where you cannot control your emotions? You made an emotional decision to leave the way you did, and that's going to stay with you for a while. And don't get me wrong, this guy is one of the best receivers I ever seen in my lifetime. He's incredible. Antonio Brown is incredible when you look at his body of work on the football field. It's the reason why the Raiders, the Patriots, and the Bucks all gave him a chance. Even after the fake vaccine card, you know, just a few, weeks ago, month ago, very recent future, he was given a chance, given that opportunity. And it's like, dude, what are you doing? These guys are trying to win a championship, and you're just on a whole nother level. You know, so, I mean, ultimately, I'm glad Tom Brady has a lot of passion for him, and we should show some type of empathy towards him. But at the same time, you know, I do wish he would take his accountability for his actions and realize that you do need help. What kind of help that is, I don't know. How far back that goes, how deep that runs, I don't know. But I think he needs to go to someone who can help him sort that out. Because I don't know how much of this he can mend to get back into football. But at least you can mend your life. Figure it out. Not walk around so miserable and trying to alienate everybody around you possible. But I guess that's just the way that goes, folks. That was just really, I mean, if you were watching it live and not just watching the clips, I mean, or just the highlight reels, I mean, it was just like you saw on the sidelines and you were just like, wow. I mean, I don't know. Some people could have said maybe he could have handled Antonio Brown differently. Maybe he shouldn't have, you know, either, you know, didn't kind of give him an ultimatum on the sideline. Because that's a little crazy, too, Bruce Arians. If that's true, I'm not trying to say it is. If that's true, that's a little crazy to give somebody an ultimatum. Either get back into the game or get off the team. That's a little crazy. That's a little much. You know, you're in the middle of a game here. And obviously, that's probably not the right time for that ultimatum, but I guess everybody was just feeling some type of way at that moment, and Bruce Arians was like, listen, I just got through dealing with this dude about a fake vaccination card, and I was like up to here with him, but I had no choice. Maybe it was with the owner too, and we had to keep him. We need him to help us win this repeat, this championship. Like, that's just, it is what it is. And then after this, and then it's like, I gotta sit here and get into arguments with this dude about when I need him to get into the game. It's like, I guess at that point, he was like, I'm done. Because I'm not about to show the rest of the team that I have no control. And that this guy, who's literally been from bouncing around from team to team to team, think that he can just make decisions over me. And like I said, this is if that happened that way. Because who knows? I'm sure it'll all come out at some point and we'll all either say, oh, here's the blame, because everybody loves the blame. But I mean, here, I think if the Bucks don't win a championship, you know, another one, it is a disappointment. And we are going to look back at this moment and we're going to say, wow, that's crazy how that happened, how that had to play out like that. whether it was an ego thing, whether we're worrying about Antonio Brown getting the help that he needs, because obviously his reaction was so over the top that now we have to sit here and think. And also, I mean, it was a culmination of things. It was also, you know, his past behavior, his past antics, right? But that was, like, over the top. That's never been done before. So we're just sitting here just trying to make sense out of foolishness, because that's what it was. That was very, very over the top. But that's my spiel on that, folks. I hope you guys call in, though. I hope you DM me and let me know exactly what you think about the subject. You know, I'm just curious, because I know a lot of people had very, very, direct opinions about it. They were just like, well, he's a nut. You know, what did you expect? You know, and then I get it. I totally get it. A lot of people are frustrated. I get it. Especially if you've seen it live. Like, I don't know. If you haven't seen it live, I'm sorry. All you're gonna do right now is just see the clips. Unless you really, really want to watch it, the whole game all over again. I don't know. I do stuff like that sometimes, because sometimes I just miss things. But it would just be nice to watch, because... Anyhow. Anyway, who are your teams going forward? Who do you see taking the chip? Is it get more confusing for you and you're not sure? The Chiefs just lost one close one. The Patriots clinched. Guys, the Bengals. Joe Burrow is really coming into his own. He's showing, I mean, the whole team, really. That's a team that nobody's talking about enough. Green Bay is Green Bay, right? The Cardinals won a big one. We got to talk about that for a second. You see, the beauty of the Arizona Cardinals is that they're a complete team. Special teams, defense, offense, they're clicking on all cylinders. Exactly when you want to be, in January, getting ready for the playoffs, getting ready for that one and done season. There is no tomorrow. Get it done right, or don't get it done at all. Get it done at summer camp. They just beat the Cowboys, right? And some people are probably going to say, you know, it depends on what side of the fence you want. I feel like there's either Cowboy haters or there's Cowboy lovers, but allow me to bridge the gap. Listen, have the Cowboys had a great season? Yes, they did. But the number one thing that I'm worried about when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys, and it's not because, oh, they can't live up to the pressure. And they, listen, like that could be a lot of teams at this point. Point is Dak Prescott. Now, listen, I don't like the Cowboys. I don't even like their fans. But I like Dak Prescott as a person, right? Not that I'm saying I'm known personally, but stay with me here. I thought he was having such an elite career before the elbow injury, okay? So this was like a couple months ago. So he was out, then he started playing differently, and it's like, okay, give him a couple of games. Let's not jump down his throat. Let's see how he plays. I'm not talking about the defense, because Michael Parsons and those boys, like, they play defense. You know, and you're looking at defensive player of the year, rookie of the year, whatever. He's in that space. But Dak Prescott has been so inaccurate these last two games. I think he showed us, like, one game, right? One game where he showed us how elite he can be. You know, but it depends on who you're playing against. Some people say, oh, it doesn't matter. No, it matters. It matters. You want to be playing at an elite level with other contenders that are contending for a Super Bowl. Because if you're just beating up teams that you're supposed to beat, who cares? Who cares? That's not going to win you a Super Bowl. I mean, to look at the way, I mean, that's credit to the Arizona Cardinals defense, though, because they just couldn't get it done. But a lot of times when I was watching Dak's throws, and I'm like, dude, you have Amari Cooper. You have CeeDee Lamb. You have Pollard. You have, I mean, Gallup, sorry, man. That dude's out for the year, torn ACL. That's unfortunate. But yo, your tight end. You have a squad on offense. Your offensive line. These guys are all here for you, man. Like, I feel like there's not many deficiencies on offense besides Dak. Right now, if they're going to win, it's all on Dak right now. He's the wild card. He's the one that we're not sure about. He's the one that we don't trust. A lot of those throws that he made, especially yesterday, that was just ridiculous. He was just missing guys wide open, not able to convert on third down. You know, just can't even make, you know, just regular, like a shallow route pass. You know, I mean, come on, to your tight end, or throw it up for Amari Cooper. And Amari Cooper barely talks. Like, if we're going to talk about a wide receiver who's not a diva and who kind of just goes out there and plays and doesn't beg for the ball every game, that's Amari Cooper. I feel like he's the ultimate, not only competitor, but a professional. He goes out there, he does his job. You know where I'm at. I'm running my routes. No problems over here. Never even heard any off-the-field things. Seems pretty focused. Seems about his job, nothing else, right? He even came out and spoke about his frustrations. I mentioned it a couple of episodes ago. The man is that's how frustrated he is. A guy who does not like to talk to the media and kind of tell his business. The guy that kind of likes to keep it in the locker room, let them know. But I guess he's to the point where how many times am I going to keep telling them? They're not listening. I'm running my routes. We're still not converting on third down. We're only barely winning games because of our defense. If it wasn't for them, we're done. And their offense is so potent, it's just not, it doesn't make any sense. And he's still not hitting Amari Cooper. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if there's something wrong with Dak. I don't know if he's still injured. I don't know if he's in his head about it. And maybe sports psychology might be a thing for him. I don't know. The point is, I'm sorry, Dallas Cowboys fans. I'm not hating on y'all just because I'm a Giants fan and we definitely suck. I promise you that's not why. Even though you can probably forgive me if it is. But it's not the reason. You guys really have to take a hard look at yourselves. You guys, your quarterbacks, I mean, Dak Prescott, yeah, your quarterback, is making a lot of money and is expected to make those throws. It's not acceptable. And then when he's not making those throws, it's like, then what's the point of me paying Amari Cooper? I'm paying Amari Cooper all that money so you can get him the ball. If you don't even throw it in his direction, doesn't even give him the opportunity to get the ball, then it's like, what are we doing here? But shout out to the Arizona Cardinals, man. That's who I'm picking to go to the Super Bowl, guys. I see it. I see them going to the Super Bowl. I can even see them going all the way. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. Health-wise, obviously, COVID protocols. It's very hard to actually pick a team nowadays. I'm still going to sit on it for a while and mull things over. But the Arizona Cardinals are going to be in the game. I promise you. That's my bet. Lock it in. You heard it here first. Green Bay Packers. Same thing. Consistency. You know what you're going to get out of Green Bay. Sometimes the wins don't even have to be pretty. They don't need to be pretty. As long as you get it done, as long as you win the game. Oh, man. Like, a lot of teams don't understand that. I think even in the beginning of the season, the reason why the Chiefs were doing so bad, even though they just lost to the Bengals, and we'll get to that, but it's mainly because they wanted the sexy win. It's like they wanted to win one way. It's like, dude, you don't need to win that. It's a win is a win. There's not a column for, oh, sexy win, an okay win, or whatever win, a loss and tie. No, there's a win and a loss and a tie column. That's it. Whatever gets the job done. It's not going to be Hail Marys all game, I promise you. Guys watch film. Guys get yelled at when they blow those coverages. So you're not going to be seeing that every Sunday, Monday, sometimes Thursday. Or we even have games coming up on Saturdays. You're just not going to see it, guys. You're not going to see it. Anywho, why don't you guys let me know Who do you think's going all the way to the Super Bowl? The Bengals, like I said, man, the Bengals, I don't know. It's going to be fun to watch. I'm going to be sitting tight. I hope you guys are. The NFL is only getting better and better from here. And another thing y'all should know about, the Eagles clinch too. So, you know, shout out to y'all Eagles fans. It's mad annoying for me. But, you know, oh, and for all you OBJ haters out there, the man has scored a touchdown in every single game he's played as a Ram. So, something for y'all to think about. But, guys, sit tight because it's been a while. So, we're going to switch it over to a little bit of NBA action. DeMar DeRozan is playing out of his mind. I don't even know how many game winners he has this season. But y'all need to start D'ing him up. This guy's not playing. He's putting the Bulls on his back. He's letting the world know. But nobody's still talking about the Bulls like that. Pay attention, guys. Even the Wizards. Kuzma, too. You want to talk about game winners, guys coming in the clutch? Because this is one thing that kind of annoys me about people. You can only talk about people when they're down, right? But you got to admit it. When guys get traded, go to another team, different circumstances, you got to admit when they start playing better. You got to acknowledge that. That's all that I'm saying. Just acknowledge it. Because I've always known that Kuzma has game. But you got to remember, young guys like that, they need a system. The system has to work for them. When you're older, like a guy like LeBron, especially well-known and pretty much have your hand in everything and controls everything, he can do whatever he wants. He can create a system to work for him, for his benefit, for whatever reasons. Kuzma, you're one of those guys that you're still up and coming. You don't have a no-trade clause in your contract. You got to just deal. Keep playing hard. Hope to get recognized. Hope to get better. And then be able to make decisions on your own and have a career after basketball. That's the goal. Kuzma had to feel comfortable in a system that he virtually did not look comfortable at all. At all. And it made him look horrible. You know, so most people who really are not really watching and paying attention, you're sitting there looking at him like, dude, how did you make it in the NBA from Flint, Michigan? Like, who noticed you? But I pay attention. I watch the games. I can see that he's a baller. Not to mention, I can see where his mind is at because he was on The Boardroom, which is Durant's show, and he speaks his mind and talks about different things. Or he will even pop up on, you know, Gilbert Arenas' podcast and talk about, you know, his different, you know, trials and tribulations and how he was able to overcome different things. And it's not easy. People think that, oh, I'm playing with LeBron, like I'm just going to get a chip and I'm just going to understand the game of basketball and get all these numbers. Like, no, that's not always going to happen, you know. You'll probably get a chip, you know, depending on the situation. And Kuzma just happened to be in that right situation with Anthony Davis being healthy for that, you know, one time. But in the grand scheme of things, that was never a system that was going to work for Kyle Kuzma. He wasn't ready for that spotlight. He wasn't necessarily ready for that moment. I felt like that was all too soon for him to be that number three guy. Like, I think that was way too much. And even where they were giving him his shots at, it just wasn't comfortable. Point is, these guys are doing well now in their respective positions. And he's playing alongside a star in Bradley Beal. He's also playing alongside Dinwiddie. Dinwiddie is a star in this league, whether he's really recognized or not. But I've seen what he was doing when he was with the Nets, how he took them to the playoffs, and Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving wasn't playing. You know, but he was that guy, along with some other guys, but, you know, with Jared Allen and those guys, Joe Harris, but he was that guy. He was their engine. He was their motor. He was, like, that superstar type of guy that they looked at to kind of carry them over the hump when it came to teams. And it was teams that came to play Spencer Dinwiddie that had to defend him, had to double-team him. So I'm paying attention. I'm watching. I understand. Also, to me, Jaylen Brown is a star. Most people recognize him. I've seen him as a star a while ago. That's why I'm saying it like that. A lot of people are just now starting to see. It's just, there's only one basketball. You know, Jason Tatum likes the ball too. He's a star in his own right as well. My man Jaylen Brown scored 50, 11 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 blocks. Like, man, he's not playing. I'm glad the Celtics are figuring it out, though, because it was a shame. I still think some trades need to be made. Maybe they need to finish out this season in order to see that for themselves. Maybe contract opportunities, different things like of that nature. I don't know what's in their contract, but they need to make some moves, because I'm telling you, when you look at the landscape of things, you know, Ben Simmons is still out there. I'm just saying, where these guys would benefit more. And not just the guys, the team too, ultimately. Because the whole thing is, they're not just trying to get to the playoffs, right, and then just kind of die on that hill. They want to be contenders, right? They want to be taken seriously. Some of these teams look like they're only built to be in the play-in tournament, and even that's not even promised at this point. You never really know what's going to happen. I'm not sure if you guys realize this, but Klay Thompson is going to be back very soon. So keep paying attention. And, of course, it's going to be an adjustment period, because I know when Klay Thompson comes back and he's not scoring as well and the ball distribution is not going to be the same. Or I'm just saying, if that were to happen, I know everybody's going to jump all over the Golden State Warriors and say, see, they're not real. You know, they're going to have to figure that out. And, you know, I mean, there's going to be an adjustment period, and everybody should be prepared for that. But I don't think there's going to be much of an adjustment. I think they're going to come in, because I think they've taken exactly as much time as they needed. I don't feel like they rushed at all. So when he comes back, I feel like for the most part, it should be smooth. You know, I mean, the other guys like Jordan Poole, you know, maybe have to really get used to it, like Toscano Anderson, because they have to get used to the reduced minutes. And then eventually when you have to reintroduce Wiseman, that's when it's going to be a little bit more trouble, because he's younger. And, you know, it's just he has to find his footing all over again and then get back to the speed of the game. I think that's what really throws players off the most, whether rookie or vet. Getting back into the speed of a professional sport after injury, you know, because you can say to yourself, you're back, you played a couple pickup games, but when you start to when you have to actually go on the road, get back into that game, and guys are going full speed, you know, because they're in prime conditioning shape, ready for the playoffs coming up, and you're just like, wow, feeling like you're stuck in cement. So it's a whole nother thing. Anyway, it's only January in the NBA, so it's just getting started. So we're never really going to know how things are going to shape out to be, especially with everything going on. But, guys, it's been great. I love sitting here talking with you guys. And shout out to all the new supporters. You guys have been flowing in. And I'm going to have to get a bigger team to order in order to have to respond to every one of you in the best way possible. But I do want you to know that a response is coming, so if you guys have been waiting, I do apologize, but I'm here, and I'm going to be back at it. Happy New Year to everybody, and sit tight, because with the ripple effect, man, things are only going to get bigger and better, and we're going to be doing videos and all types of stuff. This is going to be strictly a video podcast coming up, so like I said, sit tight, hang in there, answer the questions after you watch the episode, and you'll get a gift. But until then, I'll see you guys later. Peace.
This is The Ripple Effect with your girl, K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.